There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God. No man can do these miracles that thou doest except God. Teacher was called a teacher. You may be seated in the presence of our Lord. My brothers and my sisters, I thought it not robbery on this cap and gown Sunday of 2019 to shift my focus a little bit from where it has been for 8 years. My focus for the past 8 years normally has been on encouraging, especially our high school graduates, giving them some wisdom and some impartations of what to expect in the next season of their life. But as you know, during this year, there has been a special focus, especially in the state of South Carolina, on respecting our teachers, and especially respecting our teachers with regard to their salaries. Amen. This past year, there was a day of reflection, boycott, strike. We ain't come to work until y'all look at us and see us. To make sure that we honor and respect those men and women who are some are, if not the most important persons in the development of our children's lives. That they spend a lot of time with our children. They can be helpful to our children or harmful to our children. And so as the Holy Spirit has led and guided, I kind of want to focus today on teaching and teachers and their relationship to our children. I am blessed and honored to actually be a fourth generation teacher. My great grandfather, Isaac Samuel Levy, graduated from Hampton Institute in 1906. He graduated from college at the age of 30, paying his way through every summer, every year by working in the school's cafeteria, working really in Maine, all the way up to Maine, working on ships just to pay his way through Hampton University. And in 1906, he was hired as the colored school teacher for Lancaster County. Back in this period, there was only one school for African-American students, and every county had one school, and every children couldn't go to school because they had to work in the fields. And so from 1906 until 1908, he was the colored school teacher of Lancaster County before he went into his other businesses. Then both of my grandmothers, Ruby Levy Johnson, who was his daughter, became a teacher at Bethel Elementary School, and now in District 2, which is now Bethel Hanbury Elementary School. That's where my grandmother Ruby taught. And then my other grandmother, Lottie Robinson Wright, was a first grade teacher next to Miss Jackson at Greenview Elementary School. My mom taught at W.A. Perry High School, closed Booker T. Washington with Coach Williams in 1974, and after having children, went back to Benedict College and stayed at Benedict College for 33 years. My dad has been an adjunct professor at Benedict, and I, of course, for 10 years was an adjunct professor at the University of South Carolina. I thought that I was going to be a tenured professor. My goal was to be a full-time tenured professor, but God had another plan for my life. He changed my travel coordinates. But any preacher who is worth his salt is first and foremost a teacher. If you don't learn anything every time you leave the church on Sunday morning, I have not done my job. Amen. And so I consider myself above anything else besides all of my other accolades, besides all of my other vocations. I'm kind of half Jamaican. I got a lot of jobs. Amen. That's because my daddy don't pay me nothing at the funeral home, so I got to supplement my income. But I am first and foremost a teacher. Even though teaching was in my blood, I had no desires of being a teacher. I wanted to be a lawyer like my father and like my brother. But when I got to the University of North Carolina, that freshman year at the University of North Carolina, I took a course called History 78, the Transatlantic Slave Trade, taught by Herman Bennett. Dr. Bennett was a 28-year-old African-American male getting his PhD at Duke University. I won't hold that against him. He's now a history professor at the City University of New York. We still remain in contact with each other. And he taught this course on the history of the transatlantic slave trade, looking at the business aspect, not of slavery in the Carolinas, not Kunta Kinte type stuff, but the business aspect of the transatlantic slave trade, a whole course on the slave trade itself. And I was floored. I was amazed by this brother who just opened up my mind. And I decided that semester that I was going to become a professor. I remember calling my parents and letting them know that I was no longer going to law school, that I was going to become a professor. They weren't too happy at that time because I was supposed to go in the family business. But God had another business for me to do. And so I knew at that point that teaching James would be my calling in life. And I was so, Cheryl, immersed in it that I typed up every note in college. I had a tape recorder, taped every lecture that I took a history class in, and typed up every note. You see, transatlantic slave trade, fall 1992. FM 41, fall 1993. History 165. History 21. Religion 58. The historical Jesus. I was taking religion already in college, amen? I typed up every note in college because I knew that that was my purpose and my passion in life. Now, you might be saying to yourself, oh, Pastor, you're a nerd, man. You was a nerd if you did it when you what? Ain't no way in the world I would do all that. Oh, no. I still had a good life. I still had my fun. I still did what I had to do. And it wasn't Kool-Aid in that cup. Oh, no. Now, my media team said, you sure you want us to put up that picture, that other picture? I said, Cynthia, out of the country. Don't you worry about it. We'll be all right. And Pam, if you call her, it's going to be me, you, and Jesus. Switch that real quick. Switch that real quick before somebody take a camera phone picture of it. You got to keep it in perspective. Amen. You can do all things. You can have fun. You can enjoy your life. But you've got to understand, we are sending you all to college so that you come back in 4 years, not five, not six, not seven, not eight. We want you back in 4 years so our Cash App will still have some funds in it. We want you back so you can go back another row, amen? We want you back so that you can be what God has asked you to be. And I would declare unto you that the reason you are where you are right now is because there's been a special teacher in your life. And that's why I ask some of you to bring your favorite teacher with you, to honor those teachers. Without our teachers, where would we be? And it makes no sense for a football coach to make $9 million a year when y'all only make $9 an hour, when you think about all the extra work you have to do, all the work you have to do after the school bell has rung, all the mentoring you do, all the extra stuff you have to do. It makes no sense that a coach that throws ball and teaches somebody how to tackle makes $9 million a year. We have our priorities out of place. And I know I can't buy you anything. I can give you a little gift certificate. But I really can't pay you for what you do, all the hours you put in, all the work that you do, all the headaches you have, all the knuckleheads you have to deal with, all the parents who ain't on your side blaming your child. I can't do that for you, but I can, on behalf of the Lord Jesus Christ, say thank you. Thank you for all that you do. Thank you for all that you admit to these children. They might take you down. teacher. But need to remind you, the greatest teacher that ever lived didn't graduate from college. The greatest teacher that ever lived didn't have a master's, no plus 30, no PhD, didn't have to go to them boring professional development classes Barry and make y'all coaching. No assessments. No 20 standardized tests. No putting up the D's. Focus on the board. Didn't have nobody watching over him on parent-teacher conferences. But the greatest teacher that ever lived was how to love one another. The greatest teacher that ever lived said that there is no difference between Jew and Gentile, no difference between black and white, no difference between Asian and Hispanic. That greatest teacher said that the only way that you can get to the Father is but by me. That greatest teacher in the world that imparted wisdom and knowledge for us to know that we are God's child and that God's children have a purpose and a place in life. That greatest teacher that taught the multitude, that greatest teacher that also was a miracle worker. And I am looking at some of my children who I know your stories. Thank God that they are miracles, that some of them couldn't have been here today. There's some of them that started off their senior year, we were questioning whether they were going to be here today. But because of a great teacher, because of a great administration, can I get a witness? They are miracles right here. And you have to be grateful. Our teachers don't make enough money to really put up with this mess. And to put up with your mama's mess. They don't make enough money to deal with you coming to school with an attitude and not putting up your cell phone when they tell you to put up your cell phone. They don't make enough money to deal with that. They come there every morning because they love you. And they understand, before you understand, you need them. But one day, this man by the name of Nicodemus, who was a Pharisee, which means that he was a leading Jewish elite. If he was a Pharisee, Erica, admit that he went to the school of Gamaliel. Gamaliel taught all the Pharisees the law of the land and the law of Moses. It was Paul who also went to the school of Galileo. It would be like going to Jerusalem Seminary, or the seminary at Jerusalem, that way you got a master's of divinity in seminary. It was Gamaliel's school that Nicodemus went to, because the only way for one to become a Pharisee was to go to the school of Gamaliel. So we know that he had to go to Gamaliel's school to get the title of Pharisee. And the Bible says that one day he comes to Jesus by night, which means he came to Jesus in secret. In other words, he came to Jesus for a little extra credit. School open. I feel my help coming on right now. He came to Jesus for a little extra credit. He says, Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher. Now, the word rabbi means teacher or scholar. In other words, he says, teacher, we know that you are a teacher. My head gets hurt when I feel them. Teacher. We know you are a teacher. He didn't call him Jesus. He didn't call him Mary's little baby. He didn't call him Bethlehem's child. He says, Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher. See, everybody who is a teacher ain't a teacher. Everybody who got the title ain't doing the job. That's why y'all got so much turnover, because they ain't been called. They don't know what they want to do, so they just going to do this for a little while, but they ain't doing their job. That's why we got so much mess going on. But he says, I know you are a teacher because I know good teaching. I've been to a good teacher school, so I know you are a better teacher than even the best teacher in the land. So I'm going to say you are a teacher twice. Ain't nobody want to say nothing to me this morning. I know you are a good teacher. That's why you came up there, sister, three times. Because somebody knows you are a good teacher. And only way really to become a good teacher is to care and love your students. See, they don't care how much you know until they know you care.
See, these young folk, they sniff you out on day one. They know on day one if you know what you're doing, if you can manage your classroom, if we're about to get over on you, or if you're just mean and evil. Y'all know, don't you? Just tell me in secret at night, all right? They know on day one whether they're going to learn something from you because you already have a heart for them. And they all want to be loved. I know they knucklehead sometimes. I know they give you problems sometimes. I know some of them act like they don't care sometimes. But you've got to sometimes get to their marrow and understand why they are coming to school angry every night because their parents are fighting every night. Or they don't have any food in their kitchen because they are hungry. And so because they are hungry, they can't produce. But y'all so busy about the test and about the standards. Sorry, school board. This is my mic. And the calculations and what they're going to put on the score of the school district that you forget what you're there for. You are there to teach a child and make a child better. And in the word of God, if that means you got to work out a miracle, baby, you got to work out a miracle. If that means we got to stay to 9 o'clock at night, we're going to stay to 9 o'clock at night. You are going to graduate. You are going to pass this end of course test. We are going to get you ACT prep. You are going to school for free. You have been too talented not to go to school for free. He says, we know that you are a teacher because of the things that you have said and the things that you have done. Because of that, man, I am risking it all. Risking my title, risking my elite status in society, risking being termed a messianic Jew and a lover of Jesus. I am risking it all, but every time you talk, something goes all through me. And I just got to get a little bit more of the knowledge and the wisdom that you have. So, teacher, teach me how to be saved. Teach me how to be born again. How can I be born twice? Once of a mother and then by the Spirit of God. And let me tell you before I leave you, don't you leave here. Don't you leave Columbia. Don't you leave going to any school without you knowing the Lord Jesus Christ and remembering all the things that your parents have taught you. When you by yourself, nobody's going to wake you up in the morning. Nobody's going to make you put on your alarm clock. Nobody's going to make you go to school. But you've got to remember everything that God taught you. And the Bible says that he will bring everything into remembrance. Amen. And so you have been imparted. You have been prepared for the next season of your life. Because there were some great teachers in your life. And I pray that you will always have an attitude of gratitude. The great teachers who have been in your life. I've told this congregation this story before, and I'll tell it again. When I was doing my doctorate at the University of South Carolina, I was working 50 hours a week at the funeral home on Levy's plantation. I think Master Levy is here right now. Thank God for my shoes he gave me for Christmas. But Baron, you know how hard it is to work and get a PhD. And in history, you've got to do a lot of work. I know history seems like it's easy, but it ain't. All right, because there's a whole lot of reading and writing. One class, History 701, Colonial American History, every week a 12-page paper. Every week. One book, 10 articles, 8 articles, 40 pages. 400 pages plus a book, and write a 10-page response to it every week. But she was preparing me to preach. I didn't know it then. Because every week I don't use the paper. Mr. Williams, but every week I have to write. I don't use it, but every week I have to write. Don't think that I come up here just be talking. I got to study before I get here, amen? And I've been blessed that I don't have to use it when I get here because that woman taught me how to write a paper every week and to write it quick. What's that it take for what's called your study on your major areas, a comp in American history since 1865, a comp in American history before 1865, a comp in African American history, and a comp in religion. A comp in religion blew through that. Comp in African American history blew through that. Comp in American history before 1865 blew through that. But I decided, Mark, that I was going to put all full professors on my committee. And that was strategic. Because there are three classes of professors: assistant professor, associate professor, and full professor. Assistant professors are the ones who just got their job, just got their PhDs. They ain't got no tenure. They can be fired tomorrow. They ain't kind of like if you pledged in college, your big brother, your big sister, because they just pledged, got their letters, and they're going to haze you. So they sometimes have things to prove, and they ain't the nicest people to deal with because they just got, their wounds ain't been healed. Help me, somebody who's been there where I am. And so they cause you problems. So I put all full professors, the people who can't be fired and who ain't got nothing to prove. And who won't gonna make me a test case. So I put all full professors on my committee, including the chairman of the department, Dr. Patrick Maney. I said, Dr. Maney, we're gonna be on the test. Well, I'm gonna give you three choices. I'm going to ask you three questions. You decide what two you want to answer. You got 2 hours to write a 10-page response to either one of the questions you want. It's rough. So I get there to the computer lab, unseal the envelope. Now look, it's two questions. You said there would be three questions. And I would choose the two I wanted to answer. But when I looked, Mark, at the paper, it was two questions. And one of them was to analyze the historiographical analysis of the Industrial Revolution from 1820 to 1960. I don't know nothing about no Industrial Revolution. That ain't my area of concentration. That's not me. You want me to come... the historiography, which means you need to understand the different classes, the different groups, and the authors who wrote about the Industrial Revolution during this time period. And I was stuck. I don't know that book, narrow author, and really don't know nothing about the Industrial Revolution except I know there was steam. And I couldn't write 10 pages on steam. So the Holy Ghost came in the computer lab. And the Holy Ghost said, go to the office and talk to his secretary. I went, and this is a true God, I went to the office. And I said, whatever her name was, we got a problem. We got a situation. Dr. Maney told me that there would be three questions on the test. And I could choose the two I wanted to answer. Ain't put two questions on here. He forgot to put the third. He forgot to put the third question on the test. Is there any way we can call him? She said, it's better than that. He in his office. So I said, Dr. Maney, how you do, sir? God bless you. Dr. Maney, I think there's something wrong with your computer. Or your printer, because, you know, you and I talked and you had said that, you had said that there would be three questions. I could choose two, but it's only two questions on the test. And I'm going to be quite honest with you, Dr. Maney. I don't know damn thing about no Industrial Revolution. And he said, what do you know? I said, I know slavery. So he took the paper, Cheryl, crossed out Industrial Revolution, and wrote in slavery. He said, what do you know? And I told him what I knew. And so he allowed me to write on something that I knew. I didn't know nothing about the Industrial Revolution, but there are some things in life that I know. I know he'll make a way out of no way. I know he'll fight your battles. I know that all things work together for good according to them that love God, according to them that are called, according to his purpose. I know that he will make you the head and not the tail. I know that we can do all things through Christ that strengthens us. I know that when you can't get a little prayer through, that there's somebody praying for you. I know that he is the way, the truth, and the life. I know that no man can come unto the Father but by him. I know when I can't figure it out, he's already worked it out. There are some things that I know. I know that he is a way maker. I know he's a burden lifter. I know he's a heavy load sir. And I ought to have a witness up in here. If I ask you, what do you know? Do you know him? Do you know him in the pardoning of your sin? Do you know that he allowed you to graduate? Do you know that some teacher wrote a miracle for you? You might not have scored high enough, but you made it because somebody stood in the gap for you. And I ought to have a Baptist witness up in here on the day of Pentecost that says, thank God for what he's done for me. I could not have made it without the Lord on my side. It was not my intellect. It was not my last name. It was not the power in my bank account. But anybody knows what nothing but the Lord that was on my side. When you look back over my story, see where I've come from. See through all the hell I've been through. Anybody want to be a witness? But I know he's all right. 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 And he will do it just like he said. Can you get it up for the greatest teacher that the world has ever known? Can you give it up for the greatest teacher that taught us how to love? Today, you don't know this teacher. You've never been to his office hours. You've never taken one of